Let's get into the actual hardware. By the time we're done here, you'll understand every major product Virgent makes, where it sits in the power chain, and why this stuff is hard to build. That matters because when you sit across from the CEO, the fastest way to earn credibility is to speak his language. What Virgent actually makes. They manufacture 6 main categories of electrical distribution equipment. Let me walk through each one. First, switchgear. Think of switchgear as the traffic control system for electricity. It's a large metal enclosure, usually about the size of a refrigerator or bigger, packed with circuit breakers, disconnect switches, fuses, and protective relays. Its job is to route power to where it needs to go and, critically, to isolate sections of the electrical system when something goes wrong. If a transformer overheats or a cable faults, the switchgear disconnects that section in milliseconds to prevent a cascading failure. Virgent makes both medium voltage switchgear, which handles power at 4,000 to 35,000 volts, and low voltage switchgear, which handles power below 1,000 volts. In a data center, the medium voltage switchgear is the first major piece of equipment after the utility transformer. It's the gatekeeper. The low voltage switchgear sits further downstream, closer to the actual servers. Second, automatic transfer switches, or ATSs. These are exactly what they sound like. When the primary power source fails, whether that's a utility feed or a generator, the transfer switch automatically detects the failure and switches to the backup source. In a data center, where even a few milliseconds of power interruption can crash servers and corrupt data, these switches are mission critical. They have to work every single time, with zero margin for error. Virgent also makes paralleling switchgear, which is a specialized version that can synchronize multiple generators to work together as a single power source. That's essential for large data centers that might have dozens of backup diesel generators. Third, power distribution units, or PDUs. Not the small strip you'd plug into a wall. These are large floor-standing or rack-mounted units that take power from the building's electrical system and distribute it to individual server racks or groups of racks. They include monitoring, metering, and circuit protection. This is where Virgent starts to overlap slightly with Vertiv's territory, but Fortune's PDUs tend to be the heavier upstream units, not the in-rack strips. Fourth, transformers. This came primarily from the MGM Transformers acquisition, which was the anchor deal in the roll-up. Transformers change voltage levels. The grid delivers power at very high voltages, sometimes hundreds of thousands of volts, because high voltage is more efficient for long-distance transmission. But a data center or factory needs power at much lower voltages. Transformers step the voltage down, and sometimes step it back up, at various points in the distribution chain. Virgent makes both dry-type transformers, which use air for cooling and are preferred indoors because there's no fire risk from oil, and liquid-filled transformers, which use oil or synthetic fluid for cooling and are typically used outdoors or in substations. The MGM acquisition gave Virgent one of the largest transformer manufacturing operations in North America, with over 50 years of experience and a $4 billion installed base. Fifth, prefabricated electrical buildings, which they call e-houses or power skids. This is the powertrain solutions segment, and it's the fastest growing part of the business. An e-house is essentially a self-contained modular building that houses all of the electrical distribution equipment for a data center or industrial facility. Instead of building a concrete electrical room on site and then installing each piece of equipment individually, which requires hundreds of skilled electricians working for months, Virgent builds the entire thing in their factory, wires it, tests it, and ships it on a flatbed truck. The customer just has to set it in place and connect the incoming and outgoing power cables. They claim 25% lower all-in cost and 30% faster deployment versus traditional stick-built construction. This segment went from 4% of revenue in fiscal 24 to 16% in the most recent quarter, and it's growing at 230% year over year. Sixth, bus duct systems. Think of bus duct as a highway for electricity. Instead of running hundreds of individual cables from the switchgear to various distribution points, you use a rigid metal enclosure containing copper or aluminum bars, called bus bars, that carry large amounts of current over short distances very efficiently. Bus duct is common in data centers and industrial plants where you need to move a lot of power in a compact space. As power density in data centers increases, bus duct becomes even more critical because you're moving heavier and heavier current loads. One thing worth noting is the breadth here. Virgent manufactures across 19 product categories, and no single product represents more than 13% of total revenue. That diversification matters because it means they're not dependent on any one product line, and it lets them offer customers a complete solution rather than forcing them to source from 5 or 6 different vendors. The full list includes things like generator connection cabinets, remote power panels, tap boxes, and switchboards in addition to the 6 categories I just walked through. The management team is emphatic about this point. They say Virgent is one of a small number of companies that can manufacture all of the electrical distribution equipment required for a data center or large manufacturing facility's powertrain from a single vendor. Now let me take you inside a data center powertrain so you can see where all of these pieces fit. Picture a large data center, say 100 megawatts. The power journey starts at the utility substation, which is usually located at the edge of the property. High voltage power comes in from the grid, typically at 69,000 to 230,000 volts. The first piece of equipment it hits is a step-down transformer, which reduces the voltage to something the data center can work with, usually 13.8,000 volts or 34.5,000 volts. This is medium voltage. From there, the power enters the medium voltage switchgear. This is Fortune's sweet spot. The switchgear routes the medium voltage power to multiple distribution paths within the data center. Each path feeds another transformer, which steps the voltage down further to 480 volts, which is the standard low voltage used in most U.S. commercial and industrial applications. The power then flows through low voltage switchgear, which distributes it to various zones within the facility. Next in line is the automatic transfer switch, which sits between the normal utility power path and the backup generator path, ready to switch over instantly if the utility feed drops. After the transfer switch, the power reaches the uninterruptible power supply, or UPS. The UPS provides battery-backed power to cover the gap between when the utility fails and when the generators come online, typically 10 to 15 seconds. And finally, the power flows through the PDU to the server racks. Here's the critical distinction for your meeting. Virgent covers the distribution layer, the transformers, the medium and low voltage switchgear, the transfer switches, the bus duct, and increasingly the prefabricated buildings that house all of it. This is what the industry calls gray space equipment. It lives outside the actual server room, in the electrical rooms and outdoor switchyards. Vertiv primarily covers the white space, the UPS layer, in-rack power distribution, and thermal management inside the server room. Eaton has meaningful overlap with Virgent in the distribution layer, which is why Eaton is the more direct competitor. But Eaton is a $200 billion diversified conglomerate where data center distribution is a relatively small piece. Virgent is pure play. One important nuance, Virgent deliberately stays out of the UPS business. They don't manufacture UPS systems at all. Instead, they design their systems to be UPS vendor agnostic, meaning they'll integrate whatever UPS the customer prefers, whether it's from Vertiv, Eaton, Schneider, or anyone else. That's a smart strategic choice because it avoids competing directly with the UPS manufacturers while still offering a complete solution. It also means customers don't feel locked into Forgent's entire ecosystem. They can mix and match, which makes the initial sale easier. Now, why does engineered order matter so much? This is fundamental to understanding the business model. Every data center is different. The voltage coming from the local utility varies by region. The amperage requirements depend on the power density of the servers. The redundancy architecture depends on the customer's uptime requirements. Some customers run what's called N+1 redundancy, which means they have one extra backup system beyond the minimum needed. Others run 2N, meaning every single power component is fully duplicated. The most demanding customers run 2N+1, which means full duplication plus an additional spare. Each redundancy tier dramatically changes the amount and configuration of electrical equipment required. The physical layout, the building dimensions, the location of the utility connection, the site elevation, the seismic zone, the local code requirements, all of these factors influence the engineering. Engineered to order means that Fortune's engineers design each system specifically for that project. They produce over 1,500 unique designs per year with an average batch size of just 15 units per design. Compare that to standard catalog products, which might be produced in batches of 1,000 or more with minimal customization. 91% of Fortune's revenue comes from custom or engineered to order products. At most competitors, that figure is around 10%. That's not a small difference. That's a fundamentally different business model. It means Fortune competes on engineering depth, design speed, and manufacturing flexibility rather than on price. And it means customers are willing to pay a premium, typically 500 to 800 basis points higher margin, because they're getting exactly what they need, delivered faster than anyone else. Fortune claims they can produce a single-line topology, which is the fundamental electrical design document, within 48 hours. Competitors often take 8 to 12 weeks. That speed advantage in the design phase translates directly into shorter overall lead times and faster time to power for the customer. And time to power is everything right now. Every day a data center sits unfinished is a day of lost cloud computing revenue. Let me walk through the capacity math so you understand the dollar content. A large data center, say 100 megawatts, might need 15 to 20 medium voltage switchgear lineups, each one a complex custom engineered assembly. It might need 50 or more automatic transfer switches, because every redundant power path needs its own switch. It needs multiple large transformers, both medium to low voltage stepdowns and potentially utility scale stepdowns. It needs extensive bus duct systems to route power throughout the facility. And increasingly, the customer wants all of this delivered as a series of prefabricated modules rather than built on site. The electrical distribution equipment content in a new data center runs about $3.1 million per megawatt. So a 100 megawatt facility needs roughly $310 million of the equipment that Fortune makes. Fortune's product categories represent about 8% of total data center capital expenditure, and that percentage is growing. Now here's why AI changes everything. A traditional data center from 5 years ago might run 10 to 15 kilowatts per rack. Those racks were air-cooled, used standard power distribution, and the electrical infrastructure was relatively straightforward. An AI-focused data center today runs 50 to 100 kilowatts or more per rack. The NVIDIA GB200 NVL72 racks that everyone is deploying draw over 100 kilowatts each. That is a 5 to 10 times increase in power density per rack. What does that mean for the electrical distribution equipment? Everything gets bigger. You need higher capacity transformers because you're pushing more total power into the building. You need higher amperage switchgear, and Fortune specifically mentioned on the earnings call that their low voltage designs have evolved from 400 to 500 amp units a couple of years ago to 1500 to 1600 amp units today. You need more transfer switches because the redundancy requirements at higher power levels are even more stringent. A failure at 100 kilowatts per rack affects 10 times more computing capacity than a failure at 10 kilowatts per rack. You need more bus duct capacity to handle the heavier current flows. And you need all of this in a more compact footprint because the facilities aren't getting proportionally larger. The net effect is that the dollar content of electrical distribution equipment per data center is exploding. Not just because more data centers are being built, but because each data center requires significantly more electrical infrastructure than it did even 3 years ago. And the refresh cycle is compressing. Legacy data centers used to refresh electrical infrastructure every 8 to 9 years. AI-focused facilities may refresh every 2 to 3 years as computing architectures evolve. That creates a recurring demand driver on top of new construction. Now let me tell you the crumbling grid story, because this is the second major demand driver that most investors underappreciate. Fortune's grid segment is 23% of revenue and 30% of backlog, and it's growing fast. Here's why. The U.S. electrical grid was largely built in the 1950s through the 1980s. Over half of all distribution transformers currently in service are beyond their expected useful life, more than 35 years old. Utilities essentially stopped building new substations and major distribution infrastructure for decades because electricity demand was flat. Growth in renewables, electric vehicles, and data centers is now overwhelming a grid that was already aging. Interconnection queues, which is the line that new projects have to wait in to connect to the grid, now exceed 7 years in many regions. That means if a developer wants to build a new solar farm, a new data center, or a new factory that requires significant grid capacity, they may wait 7 or more years just to get connected. Utilities need to build new substations, new transmission infrastructure, and upgrade existing distribution networks to handle the load. All of that requires the exact same switchgear, transformers, and distribution equipment that Fortune makes. So Fortune benefits from both sides of the equation. Data center customers need equipment for their facilities, and the utilities serving those data centers need equipment for the grid infrastructure to power them. The same supply-demand imbalance affects both. This is why Fortune formed a dedicated 10-person utility sales team in 2025. Their average spend per utility customer grew 87% year over year to $3.2 million, and they're now a qualified vendor for 22 utilities. Grid infrastructure spending is entering what analysts call a supercycle, with U.S. utilities committing over $1 trillion through 2029. Bloomberg New Energy Finance estimates global grid investment will hit $470 billion in 2025 alone, with the U.S. leading at $115 billion. The supply situation is genuinely dire. According to Wood Mackenzie, power transformer demand has increased 119% since 2019. Generator step-up unit demand is up 274%. Distribution transformer demand is up 34%. And prices have followed. Power transformers are up 77% in cost, medium voltage switchgear prices are up 50% since 2021, and circuit breaker prices are up 47%. On top of all that, over 55% of distribution transformers currently in service in the U.S. are more than 33 years old, meaning they're past their expected useful life and need to be replaced. That represents about 40 million units. The replacement wave alone would consume massive manufacturing capacity even without any new construction. What makes this stuff premium and hard to replicate? You can't just decide to start making switchgear and transformers. The barriers are real and compounding. First, safety certifications. Every product line needs to be tested and certified by UL Solutions, which is the primary safety certification body for electrical equipment in North America. The UL certification process takes 12 to 18 months per product line. You have to demonstrate that the equipment can safely handle fault conditions, including arc flash testing. An arc flash is an electrical explosion that occurs during a short circuit, generating temperatures up to 35,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Testing for this requires specialized facilities, and the equipment has to contain and redirect that energy safely. Every design variant may require additional testing. Beyond UL certification, the equipment has to comply with NFPA 70, which is the National Electrical Code, and a host of other standards depending on the application and location. For utility-grade equipment, there are additional IEEE and ANSI standards. For data centers serving government customers, there are cybersecurity and domestic content requirements that mandate U.S. manufacturing. Fregent has over 20 UL solutions files and 50,000 reference designs accumulated over decades across their 4 acquired companies. That library is an enormous competitive advantage that took decades to build. Then there's the labor. Building custom electrical distribution equipment is skilled, hands-on manufacturing work. It requires electricians, welders, copper busbar fabricators, control wiring specialists, and testing technicians. You can't automate away a custom busbar assembly that changes dimensions for every project. The skilled trades workforce in the U.S. is projected to shrink 14% by 2030, while demand grows 25%. There are over 1 million open skilled trade positions in the country right now. Fregent has had, and I'm quoting from the earnings call here, good success recruiting, onboarding, training, and retaining skilled labor in metropolitan operating locations. That's a subtle but important point. Their facilities are in Minneapolis, Houston, the Baltimore DC corridor, Los Angeles, and Tijuana. Not rural locations where it's hard to attract workers. They deliberately chose metro areas with existing skilled labor pools. Now the $205 million investment. Fregent has added 1.8 million square feet of manufacturing space across 5 new campuses, bringing the total to 2.3 million square feet across 10 campuses. That's nearly a 5 times increase from the 483,000 square feet they had pre-expansion. The expansion includes dedicated copper fabrication lines, automated electrical testing bays, and clean room grade assembly areas for equipment going into sensitive applications. And here's the key number. At 3-shift operations, those facilities can support up to $5 billion of annual revenue. They're currently doing about $1.3 billion annualized. That means they're below 25% utilization. Every product can be manufactured in at least 2 separate facilities, which provides both redundancy and geographic flexibility. 80% of their manufacturing capacity is less than 3 years old, meaning it's modern equipment in new buildings. And once the expansion is substantially complete by the end of this fiscal year in June, CapEx drops to roughly 1% of revenue, split between 0.25% for growth and 0.75% for maintenance. That's when the free cash flow inflection happens. JP Morgan models negative $30 million of free cash flow this year, but $314 million next year when CapEx normalizes. That's a massive swing. This capacity is the moat they're building. While Fregent invested $205 million to increase capacity by nearly 5 times, competitors are running at 75 to 80% utilization with much more modest expansion plans. Eaton is spending $340 million on a new 3-phase transformer facility in South Carolina, but it won't be operational until 2027. Siemens is investing $150 million in its first U.S. large power transformer plant in Charlotte, also targeting 2027. Hitachi Energy has over $1 billion committed, including what will be the largest U.S. power transformer facility in South Boston, Virginia, but again, that's a 2028 timeline. Fortune's capacity is online now. The factories are built. The equipment is being installed. They're hiring and training workers today. Why can't competitors easily respond? This goes beyond just capital expenditure. Vertiv's core competency is UPS systems and thermal management, not distribution switchgear and transformers. They could certainly enter Fortune's space, but it would require building entirely new product lines with new certifications, new engineering teams, and new manufacturing processes. That's a multi-year effort that distracts from their own growth opportunities. Eaton is the most direct competitor in switchgear and transformers, but Eaton's approach is fundamentally different. Eaton primarily sells configure-to-order products, which means they start with standard designs and modify them within predefined parameters. Fregent does true engineer-to-order, designing from scratch for each project. It's the difference between ordering a car with options versus commissioning a custom-built vehicle. The engineering depth, the design library, the manufacturing flexibility required for true ETO at scale are different capabilities than what Eaton has optimized for. Schneider Electric is deeply integrated and technically capable, but they're a European-headquartered company that moves more slowly in the U.S. market. Their CCO Bobby Rogers spent 16 years at Schneider before joining Fregent, so he knows their vulnerabilities intimately. That hire alone is a competitive intelligence asset. New entrants face the steepest hill. Even if a company has unlimited capital, they need 2 to 3 years minimum for UL certifications across a product line. They need to recruit from the same shrinking pool of skilled electrical manufacturing workers. They need to build the engineering depth to handle 1,500 unique designs a year. And they need customers to trust them with zero-defect, mission-critical power distribution equipment. In this industry, a failure doesn't just mean a warranty claim. It means a data center goes dark, potentially costing the customer millions of dollars per hour. The CEO used exactly that framing on the earnings call. He said these are zero-defect products and reliability and safety are more important to the customer than price. Customers are deeply conservative about qualifying new suppliers. Let me tell you about the sales and engineering organization, because it's a real differentiator. Fregent has 45 account executives supported by 32 application engineers, and the average tenure across that team is 17 years in the industry. About 28% have over 20 years of experience. They also have over 150 engineers, which represents 22% of the salaried headcount. A quarter of all SG and spending goes to application and design engineering. That engineering muscle is what allows them to produce single-line topologies in 48 hours and design for manufacturing drawings in weeks versus 8 to 12 weeks at competitors. They've built a library of over 50,000 reference designs that serves as a starting point for new custom projects. When a customer calls with a complex power distribution requirement, Fortune's engineers can quickly pull from that library, adapt a proven design, and turn around a proposal faster than anyone else in the market. That speed to quote converts directly into speed to order, which converts into shorter lead times and faster time to power for the customer. The competitive picture is further complicated by the fact that Korean manufacturers like LS Electric, Hyundai Electric, and Hyosung are expanding into the U.S. market. But they face the same certification timelines, plus the additional challenge of establishing U.S.-based service and support infrastructure. And growing by American sentiment, cybersecurity concerns about foreign-manufactured grid equipment, and federal incentive requirements for domestic content all work in Fortune's favor. Niederpruem made this point on the earnings call when he noted that customers often require their equipment to be made in the U.S. because of cybersecurity or to be eligible for incentives. 9 of Fortune's 10 campuses are in the U.S., and that's by design. Let me also address one emerging technology risk you should be aware of. The data center industry may be moving toward 800-volt DC power distribution, which would be a significant shift from the traditional AC-based architecture I've been describing. Today's data centers use AC power throughout the distribution chain, converting to DC only at the server power supply level. An 800-volt DC architecture would push the AC to DC conversion point much further upstream, potentially eliminating some of the AC switchgear and transformer steps. Eaton and GE Vernova are both investing in DC distribution technology. Both JP Morgan and Barclays flagged in their initiation reports that Fortune's investment level in DC technology is unclear. Management did mention on the earnings call that future low-voltage products will augment AC-based products to include DC capabilities, but they didn't provide detail on the timeline or investment level. This is worth probing in your meeting because if the industry shifts to DC faster than expected, some of Fortune's AC-focused capacity could face obsolescence risk. There's another growth lever embedded in this capacity story that's worth understanding: the prefabrication trend. The powertrain solutions segment is about e-houses and power skids, those factory-built modular electrical buildings I mentioned earlier. This segment has grown from 4% of revenue 2 years ago to 16% in the latest quarter, and it fundamentally changes the economics. A traditional on-site electrical installation requires dozens of skilled electricians working on-site for months. An e-house shifts that labor from the field to the factory, where it's more efficient, more controlled, and easier to quality test. Fagent cited a specific example, a roughly $200 million award for about 100 e-house modules at 2 megawatts each, where Fagent captured about 80 units and a competitor got 20. That single project eliminated the need for approximately 2,000 field workers. The prefabrication model also expands Fortune's addressable market by capturing 60 to 70% more electrical content per site than stick-built alternatives, because they're essentially absorbing the field labor spend that would have gone to electrical contractors. One technical detail worth knowing for the meeting: Fagent is breaker agnostic. They don't manufacture the circuit breakers that go inside their switchgear. They buy breakers from multiple OEMs, including Eaton, ABB, and Siemens, and design their switchgear to accommodate the customer's preferred breaker platform. That's smart for two reasons. First, it avoids competing directly with their breaker suppliers, who are also potential competitors in the broader switchgear market. Second, it makes Fortune's solution more flexible for customers who have standardized on a particular breaker platform. The breaker is the one major component they don't make in-house. Everything else, the sheet metal, the welding, the paint, the busbars, the coil winding for transformers, the tank and enclosure fabrication, the controls, the software, the full electrical testing, all of that is done internally. That level of vertical integration is unusual and provides both quality control and margin advantage. When you sit across from the CEO today, you'll understand this business at the component level. That's rare for a buy-side analyst meeting, and he'll notice.